We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Play, you know, they missed Sam Darnold for a couple weeks. I guess the bad news is that their offensive line has been reasonably healthy, but the only problem is those five guys are still out in the field, and you like to have them all benched.
Okay, let me ask the question I actually did want to ask is, for all of Russell Wilson's attributes, he's still getting sacked a lot. He got sacked a lot last year. He got sacked a lot the year before. Is this becoming in any way an area of concern up there, that as well as he escapes the pocket and does things when he's out of the pocket, that he's still easier to corral than people realize?
Well, here's the weird part about that, and this is where the change, and you have to look into it very closely, because when you look at, because he averages three sacks a game, so that's 48 sacks a season. He's on pace for the same thing this year. But there's been such an improvement with the pass blocking, which may sound strange, and I back that up with what ESPN does with their analytics, which is tied to next-gen stats. They're winning 66% of their pass blocks, the offensive linemen, and that's fifth or sixth in the league, depending on the week. Okay, then you look at the sacks allowed, and really, as good as with the 18 sacks, so much of it is only, there's not one player right now with more than 2.5 sacks allowed on the offensive line. So that's real positive. I mean, the difference is that Russell Wilson understands that, because he's had now at the different games where more than 3 seconds to throw the ball, some of the best in football, but then sometimes when things break down or they go against some blitzes like they did in the second half and overtime of the Arizona game, then he gets caught. But again, the offensive line blocking, and it was terrible. You watched it for the last 2 years. It was terrible. But now, believe it or not, the blocking's better, but the sack numbers stay up there, and the sack numbers are vanishing on the defensive side of the ball.
So we've all talked a lot about how vulnerable the Seahawks defense is, but Jamal Adams trending towards playing, how much does he change that?
A lot. Now, again, how he will do coming off the groin injury, and now Pete Carroll admitted what ended up happening. And anybody in the league that has the sniffles or even think you have a cold, they're sending you home because they're worried it's symptoms of COVID. But he did not test positive on anything, so he seems to be fine. But he and again, I know that I bring this up to Ray, is like, how many Jet games have you watched? Because I haven't seen too many, because they're never on national TV unless it's Thursday night, because they're so bad. But I never realized how good of a player Jamal Samuels is, or Jamal Adams. He is that good. I mean, honestly, he is the combination of Troy Polamalu and Brian Dawkins, because he's got every ability in the world. I mean, particularly, for a running game like Kyle Shanahan, he has the ability to get to the outside on those outside option plays that go towards outside the numbers, make tackles. He, in the first game, he came up and had 11 blitzes, got seven pressures and a sack. I mean, the guy is absolutely incredible. I mean, he's a ball hawk. He's a hard hitter, and he can move all over the field. He can play multiple positions, which, of course, if he can play on Sunday, that's so important, because, I mean, you figure that, with the limitations at wide receiver for both, well, for the 49ers, because with Deebo Samuel out and Richie James out, there might be more two tight end sets, and that would set it up for a guy like Adams to at least do some good things. I figure he won't play the entire game, but while he's out there, he might be able to help.
John Clayton on the Bay Area Chevy Dealers guest line. It's great to have him on during Seattle week. And we've been talking about just the players that Pete Carroll has, the talent around Russell Wilson. And I think you want to talk about not understanding how good he is, the rest of the nation, the way that you didn't get a lot of Jets games, the rest of the nation might not see the Seahawks enough to really appreciate week in, week out, how good Tyler Lockett really, truly is. You can set your watch by this guy basically having a six-catch, 80-yard, one-touchdown afternoon. It seems to happen all the time.
Yeah, well, if it's not him, it's DK Metcalf. And what's emerging is this is becoming one of the top 1-2 wide receiver punches in football. I mean, the duo down in Tampa Bay is considered to be the best right now, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. But now you can make an argument that here's DK Metcalf on path for maybe a 1,500-1,600 yard receiving season, and here's Tyler Lockett getting 15 catches, and he's on pace to maybe get to 80 or 90, maybe even a little bit more than that. But of course, so much of it is Russell Wilson, and so much of it is how they work in well with Russell. Because really, when in Doug Baldwin's last year, he had so many injuries. Tyler Lockett emerged as the number one receiver. And then, they get the DK Metcalf, and the guy is absolutely incredible because he's so big, so physical, and he's the guy that they go to. And that's going to be the interesting thing to see what happens, because I know that Jason Verrett has done a really good job of filling in, and he fills that the field side, because he's over in the more open space area. And my guess is they're going to try to send DK at him to take advantage of his height, strength, and all that stuff. So it's going to be fascinating to see.
Is Seattle, as the town of Seattle, are they as psychotic about this game as 49er fans are? Or are there other teams that they look to as sort of the game of the year?
No, they're psychotic every week, and in the way that it's like they're so worried about the defense, and of course you have to worry about the defense for how many yards it's given up and everything else. But I mean, they go into every game so worried about the outcome of the game. I think there's probably, because I know I open up the phones on Monday, and there's so much negativity, even though the team never had a 5-0 start, but it went 5-0. It got even more brutal. I mean, they want Ken Norton Jr., the defensive coordinator, to be fired. They want him to replace all the guys in the secondary. And so I'm sure it's not that much different than San Francisco when things go a little bit wrong. But, no, they're fanatic up here. And, again, it's killing them that they can't go down and see games because, again, they're so loyal and they're so good and they make so much noise. But at this stage, kind of like San Jose, the permission is not there to put fans in the stands.
The Professor John Clayton, as you alluded to, it's one of the most banged up seasons in football history, and the Niners are the most banged up team in that most banged up season. Is there a number in your mind that if Kyle Shanahan reached it, it would automatically qualify him for Coach of the Year? We're talking wins.
Well, and this is the problem that Kyle's going to have for the longest time, just like Pete Carroll has, is that normally, because now there's such a high expectation for Kyle Shanahan, I guess if he gets the number one seed, then maybe that, he can get the coach of the year. But now with the expectations like this, and hey, I know this because I'm an AP voter and we vote for the coach of the year. It usually goes to the young coach who does the best and the new coach who does the best. And so what happens now that Kyle has the success, he kind of gets ignored in the equation. Like, for example, I can see, the way things are going right now, that let's say the Browns make the playoffs with 10 wins. Then all of a sudden, you're looking at Kevin Stefanski probably getting coach of the year. Or let's say that Buffalo wins a division in the AFC East and gets to 11 wins. Then Sean McDermott, because it usually is more the newer guy than the older guys. And unfortunately, and that's just the way things have gone, now that Kyle has had the success and it's like, okay, he went to the Super Bowl last year. Well, we don't vote in the playoffs. Our vote has to be in the Wednesday after the regular season. So we can't take postseason into account. So unfortunately, Kyle's going to be like Pete Carroll, and Pete may end up with the number one seed and still not get coach of the year.
John Clayton, man, what would be the point of playing 49ers Seahawks if we didn't get to talk to you? Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks.
John Clayton here on 95.7 The Game. You can listen to us on your smart speaker. Just asked it to play 95.7 The Game, powered by Dell Technologies. Call 877-ASK-DELL. Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game, and we are brought to you by AAA Northern California, Nevada, and Utah.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Here's Nick. get 4 hours with you each and every Friday. And right around now, during those 4 hours, about 20 after, we ask one of four big 49er questions. We call it 4-4, the 49ers. And we usually do it, you know, we kind of spin it around. I come up with 4 1 week, Matt the next week. It's Ray Rattle week, 4 for the 49ers. And his second question is due up after our slickly produced open. Hit it.
It's the 4 for 49ers.
You checked all the boxes. Oh. You know I love you, Damon.
The four biggest questions for the 49ers going into this week's game.
Cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it.
I don't know the facts.
Question two.
Question numero dos, Ray Rado. We were all over rivalries the first hour. What do you got for us this hour?
We're taking 49ers Seahawks off the board for this only because I want to.
Okay.
Of the four best games this week, which one would you watch if you could only watch one, and why? Would it be Pittsburgh-Baltimore because it's the two best teams? Rams-Miami because it's a divisional team against a brand-new quarterback. Bears-Saints because you guys are both weird for the Bears. Or Chiefs-Jets to see if one team can beat the other by 50.
It's a good question. Matt, you want to go first?
Sure. I would watch the Bears game because that's what I care about in my personal life.
Here's the thing. The Bears game is an easy, low-hanging piece of fruit that I'm just going to pass on to go to the more curious fruit. I'm interested in Tua. I this week, if I could only watch one of those games, I know how good Steelers and Ravens can be. I've seen it. Rams are an interesting football team against a complete unknown since his college injury and a guy that I'm very interested in. So I think I would maybe lean in to the unknown before I leaned into the fact that even though Michael Thomas, I believe, he's not playing. Watch the Bears lose this game. So I think I know how that ends. And then what was the other one that you brought up, Ray? The other game. Oh yeah. I don't need to watch Patrick Mahomes put up 50 on the New York Jets. I know what blowouts look like, and that looks like one before I even looked at it. So I think we're good there. Give me the unknown and give me the Tua.
See, I would have thought you guys would have done Bears-Saints because they are the teams that are most likely to impact the 49ers' playoff position right now because they still have a distance between them and the Saints. I mean, that's one where if somebody loses – you know, the 49ers with a win can pass them and maybe not get caught again. But if you'd asked me, I'd take Steelers-Ravens because I think it is the best game. And ultimately, give me the best game. I mean, I will pay attention to Chiefs-Jets because it's really hard for a team giving three touchdowns to cover a spread. So I'll be interested there. Rams-Miami is probably the least interesting to me just because I don't really care that much about Miami. But I think Steelers-Ravens might be the best game, not only on this week's card, but on the whole card for the year. They're going to be there at the end.
It could be. And it could be one of those more offense than you think. It could be a good old-fashioned slobber knocker, and those are great too. And look, I don't care about the Dolphins. But I haven't had a reason to care about the Dolphins because it's been irrelevant for so long. The Rams, I think that's a direct threat to whatever the 49ers want to do. And Matt did choose the Bears and Saints. So he did go out of his way to take that one. But I think he just did that because he wants to watch Bears and Saints more than he was worried about how it affected the Niners. But yeah, how it all comes back to affect the Niners, that game probably has more to do with that than anything else. Sure.
Of course, if you were actually interested in the Niners, you'd probably watch the Niners game, which you took off the board.
Exactly.
And well, so far, I would argue that so far you have done the best job of any of us in any week in making sure that neither of the first two of the 4 for 49ers segment were actually about the 49ers.
Yeah,
at all.
It's. I guess
the first one was. How do you figure the first one wasn't?
Well, you were really asking us about other rivalries that might compare with it. So I suppose the Niners were part of the framing of the first question.
In an hour from now. I wonder what the third question will invoke. Stay tuned. Who knows?
Could be anything, literally.
I can't wait. This is why we
do live
radio.
How will the NHL fit its all-star game in?
They have to shoehorn it in. It's a Friday. It really doesn't matter. I do have this for you. Are you ready for it's a Friday so it really doesn't matter? Because I got
sure
one.
Am.
I got this.
You
listen
know
to
I
this.
Am.
Okay, so here there are a few headlines that you got to click on that immediately. Costco stops selling coconut milk over reported forced monkey labor in Thailand.
What?
Okay.
No.
There's a story right now on ABC 7 News. Costco is reportedly removing coconut milk from its shelves after Thai suppliers were accused of using monkeys to pick coconuts by PETA. PETA announced that the decision on its website, saying, "Victory, Costco, one of the largest grocery chains in the United States, has cut ties with Choco Coconut Milk after discussions with PETA and hearing from thousands of concerned shoppers like you." Now, I have to say this carefully. I'm going to spell it out first so no one is surprised at what they're about to hear. THEPPADUNGPORN. It looks like Thepadungporn, the Thepadungporn Coconut Company Limited, the manufacturer and distributor of Choco Coconut Milk, says it ensures that zero monkey labor has been used in its coconut milk production. However, PETA stands by its allegations. So, in the world of coconuts being picked by forced labor monkeys, I don't know who to believe anymore. It's been a weird year. But there you go. You don't get a lot of coconut water, monkey labor stories in your timeline in a life. And I wanted to share that with you. We should have used the breaking news sounder is what we really should have used.
We should have made it the lead.
I mean, they only had it at two.
Yeah, Am I the only one who's impressed that they got the monkeys to do this?
Well, amazingly, it clearly had to be non-union monkeys, because union monkeys would never have tolerated this.
That's a good point.
But beyond that, they got monkeys picking coconuts for humans. The 49ers play the Seahawks twice every year. That's nothing. This is the big story of the day.
Look, I need to contact my lawyer, because forced monkey labor is actually the name of my weekend punk band. So, I mean,
this is really going to mess things up.
Come on, our album art's going to have to change now.
Actually, nah, I can't go there.
Oh, well,
I wanted to, but
oh.
I couldn't.
Okay.
No.
I will even
I'm not going to get marched up to HR for this one.
Ray, when your internal editor decides to stop the presses, it's always a good idea to stop the presses. Because you, much like me, we don't have a lot of internal editing going on. So when you get your subconscious ombudsman standing up going, "Wait a moment, before you say that, think about it." You should think about it. Look at you, the maturity of Ray Ratto. Full display.
Yeah, the question that is always in my head is, what is to be gained?
Good question.
And here, the cheap laugh was far outweighed by the consequences on the other end.
Well, what is to be gained by forced monkey labor? No longer coconut milk at Costco, that's for sure. Big win for PETA. Write that down.
I can't believe monkey labor is an actual problem. I mean, I support the monkeys. I want it to be very clear. I don't want monkeys chained up doing work, but I can't believe that's a thing.
You're pro free-range monkey.
Yeah, but that sounds horrible.
It does sound like we're raising monkeys to eat, so we're not doing that.
I want the monkeys to run free.
Every now and then, because I'm not on TikTok, I don't need another piece of social media in my life, and also it might be doing subversive work for who knows. So anyways, I'm not on TikTok, but any information flowing through the Wi-Fi network in my house probably is, because my wife is on TikTok, and she showed me this person has like a trained monkey who runs to the fridge, will grab out the whipped cream and spray whipped cream in its own mouth. And it's a video that I've watched approximately 300 times. Forced monkey labor, free monkey labor. voluntary monkey labor, well-paid monkey labor.
That's the thing. The problem is the chaining and the abusing, right? If the monkeys are, like, getting bananas for picking coconuts, maybe it's a fair deal.
Like 401k, you get the cool little hat, like the grinder, organ monkey.
Totally.
Yeah, there's, I mean, look at it this way. There's plenty to negotiate here.
Yeah.
I think it's the duration of the workday that's the problem. Because monkeys are probably being made to pick coconuts about 10 hours a day. Whereas monkeys who are made to go spray their mouths full of whipped cream can do that in about 8 seconds.
You know, it does make sense now that I'm thinking about it. Like, monkeys are going to have a much easier time getting up to the coconuts than people.
I have never heard a producer more earnestly ask in my ear, can we please get to Cam?
No, not yet. I have one more thing to say.
One more thing on
I'm sure
labor.
Cam has thoughts on monkey labor. Cam, let's bring him in.
I've never had
it. Yeah, he works for Bang.
There's only one song, if I do karaoke, which I've maybe done twice in my life, it was Eddie Grant's Electric Avenue.
We're gonna rock down to Electric Avenue, and then we take it higher.
My goodness, damn near perfect. He's a lot of fun to talk to.
Electric Avenue.
Now, here's 49ers Insider, Cam Inman.
Luckily, this segment is not sponsored by coconut milk of any kind or any ilk at all. Certainly no forced monkey labor. Cam Inman joins us to talk Niners and Seahawks. How are you, Cam? It's a little weird here on a Friday. How you doing?
Yeah, I hear you guys got a little monkey business going today.
Oh, see, folks, this is why.
I knew we should bring Cam in. See?
This is why. Every freaking week, I'm like, get Cam Inman. He's going to be ready to go. That's fantastic.
Hey, you know, I had a buddy that I grew up with in high school, or in high school and junior high. He came over from the Philippines, and in the Philippines, he had a pet monkey.
Wow.
That's cool. I mean,
I don't know if you put him into any labor or whatever, but.
Yeah. No, I don't know if it's ethical to have a pet monkey, but I would certainly like one. It would make a wonderful cartoon, that's for sure.
Exactly.
Cam Inman joining us on the Bay Area Chevy Dealers guest line. And I'll tell you, man, this has got a little bit of a playoff game feel earlier in the year than it's supposed to have, as you're just counting, you know, presumed W's and losses. I think that Miami game was a presumed W. A lot of people had this as a presumed L. And if the 49ers can go up there shorthanded against the shorthanded Seattle team and win, it's a real good springboard into this next handful of games where it's the competition is stiffer than it's going to be all year.
I think you're really right on that one point about it feeling like a playoff atmosphere. And I think that's how they've approached these last two games is, the stakes are bigger now because of those three losses that they have on their ledger. And you see the intensity, the focus, the urgency, the game planning, the playmakers that they need to make plays, they're making plays. And, you know, last December they had that so-called gauntlet, and then they had to try to battle through it, and they lost a couple games. And right now they're in the thick of it, you know. I guess New England shouldn't be qualified as that because the Niners just destroyed them and New England doesn't look like the New England of old. But Seattle is always a tough place to play. I believe if I did the math on this right yesterday, I think Russell Wilson is 5-14 all time against the 49ers. And that's not a great winning percentage for the 49ers. And the fact that it came down to the last play last year with Dre Greenlaw on the goal line, there's always just great drama with Seattle, but when it's against the Niners, it's tenfold.
5-14 is, I mean, that doesn't seem like it should be right.
So you're saying I did my math wrong, which is possible. I could probably find my number.
Well, no, I just seem to remember years when Seattle was winning.
He's 12-4 against the Niners. There it is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out 5-14. How that?
I went inverted.
Why are they bothering?
And then I got my numbers all mixed up.
Oh, okay. One of the things that has sort of stood out about Seattle the last few years is that they are the team that defies the odds by winning an inordinate amount of close games.
Yeah.
Usually that evens out from year to year for most teams. But they've been on a roll where if you're within a touchdown, they win. Can that be coached against? Can you do anything if you're the opposing coach to try to change those odds a bit? Or is the only thing you can do be up by two scores at the end?
Right, and I think it's the latter, because the Niners have been in that predicament repeatedly against Russell Wilson in the fourth quarter, and they've let leads slip away. They've let Russ come back, and they've tried everything to stop him. I mean, and then, you know, people got in the debate last year whether they should go for the tie or not towards the end, and Russell came back and beat him in overtime. So it's too simplified to say it comes down to stopping Russell Wilson. But when you are such a touted MVP candidate, and now you have two excellent wide receivers to throw the ball to, and it's not just a lark to throw the ball downfield, that his long ball accuracy is just something to behold. And the 49ers are going to have some shorter cornerbacks going against some taller wide receivers, especially against DK Metcalf, and that's going to be a problem if it comes down to another, okay, back the defense up, play prevent, and I don't know if he can do that against these guys.
Speaking of wide receivers to throw the ball to, that's one thing the Niners are a little short on at the moment. And if Richie James is out, by my count, Dante Pettis is your wide receiver four. We know Kyle Shanahan's not excited to put Dante Pettis even on an active roster, never mind in a game. So do you see maybe a Kevin White call-up, or are we likely to see Dante Pettis in the game on Sunday?
I did ask Kyle Shanahan about an hour and a half ago about Kevin White, because he was only up for two games, but he only played two snaps, so he was mainly used on special teams instead. And he's had a couple months now to learn the playbook a little bit more, and Shanahan said he would like to see him up on the roster more if possible, so I think that's definitely a possibility. Now, what they're going to have is, obviously, you have Brandon Ayuk's kind of filling up, stepping up more, and then you have Kittle and Kendrick Bourne, he has Northwest roots there, right? He grew up in Portland, played at Washington State, so he's going to be jazzed to play up in Seattle. He always is. Trent Taylor has kind of been the missing guy all season, so he's going to slide into that third role, which they kind of need to utilize more, I think, especially if Debo's not there on these short intermediate routes. I'd love to see Kevin White more, just because it's a mysterious element, right? Dante Pettis, obviously, he played college ball there at Seattle, or at the University of Washington across Lake Union, and he loves playing there, and he's had a couple of good plays in Seattle. So they're not in dire straits. It's just I think you might see Brandon Ayuk pick up some of what Debo used to do in terms of the jet sweeps and the little jet tosses, because he's able to do that too.
Tavarius Moore might be the better safety. He might be the best safety on this team. It looks like his profile's rising, and it doesn't necessarily take an injury in front of him for maybe Robert Saleh and Kyle Shanahan to realize that.
Yeah, you know, I'm with you on this. The thing with Tarvarius Moore that strikes you is his speed, his playmaking ability, how he can get to the ball and, you know, make an interception here and there. Whereas Jimmy Ward, on the flip side, is super experienced. He's not going to lose the game. He's not going to blow a big play. What the fact is, I think you can have both of them on the field at the same time on Sunday. I mean, I think the 49ers, you're going to see them with five and six defensive backs a lot, because the Seahawks have no healthy running backs. So I imagine this is going to be a very much of a passing game, and they're going to give the ball to Russell Wilson to try just to find the holes in the 49ers defense. Without the intimidating pass rush he had to face last year, that's not going to be present this Sunday.
I was about to ask that since teams playing the 49ers tend to want to load up the box to prevent the run, the 49ers, are they likely to try to load up the backfield to prevent the pass? Or does Robert Saleh, is he more conservative than that? Does he want to play straight up against everybody?
Well, Robert Saleh knows Russell Wilson better than almost anybody, right? Because he was an entry-level assistant on the Seahawks staff when Russell Wilson debuted in 2012. So he's seen up close what he could do just when he was starting off. And now he's seen the last 3.5 years as a defensive coordinator how to try to stop him. So if it was me, Ray, I would try just to, you know, keep a lot of guys in the passing lanes and put 6 DBs out there, and hope your front four can provide enough pressure to try to keep Russell Wilson penned in. Obviously, when they try to get to him, he's still elusive, makes the one or two magical escapes a game that'll kill a defense. And so you just have to be cognizant of that. And the whole twice a year we hear the term the DBs have to plaster the wide receivers and stay close to them because Russell's going to escape and try to find them. So one thing, Ray, also is Saleh's blitzed a little bit more this season to try to compensate for the loss of Nick Bosa and Dee Ford. And that's something that will be interesting to see whether, if it's Jamar Taylor or Kwan Williams, if he returns to play the slot, which guy might come that way. But also Fred Warner's a guy that they haven't shied away blitzing him and Dre Greenlaw up the middle as linebackers. And these guys kind of know the game more now. And so that'll be interesting to see if they're willing to go after Russ that way a little bit more to help out the pass rush.
Between the explosiveness of Seattle's offense and the fact that their run defense has been a lot better than their pass defense so far, do you think this is a game where Kyle Shanahan might try to have his own downfield passing offense in action a little earlier?
It's almost like we're all waiting for it, right? I mean, the only time we really saw them get into that was in New Orleans. It was a fantastic game, and Garoppolo was on the mark to Emmanuel Sanders, and they mixed a couple fun, innovative plays in there. I don't know if they're willing to do it. I mean, the last two games, they've thrived with this short passing game, especially to Debo. And without Debo, maybe they do need to air it out. I mean, I asked Garoppolo this week how he feels about, you know, his long ball, and he says he's always super confident in it. And, you know, yesterday at practice, we're only allowed to see about the first 15 minutes of practice now. So you just see guys stretch and kind of go through their position drills. But it was interesting watching Garoppolo warm up, and they go through these 5- and 10-yard passes. Just they throw to the equipment managers, and then he started getting a little deeper and deeper, and then he had one of the equipment managers back up to about the 10-yard line, and the guy was ready, and Garoppolo waved him back further. He wanted to test out a 40-50-yard pass. And I mean, maybe they do that every time. I just happened to notice it more yesterday. And he completed the pass, so he's got that going for him. And, you know, I think that's the biggest question mark in Garoppolo's game is his long ball accuracy. But at the same time, that's not a major element to Kyle Shanahan's offense.
Cam Inman on the Bay Area Chevy Dealers guest line. And my last question for you is not a football question at all.
Oh.
You sound great. You really, oh. I can hear the bounce in your step again. How you feeling?
Yeah, I'm getting there. I mean, I'm not 100%, but I went on a run yesterday. I hopped on the Peloton today. So the lungs are good. The body's getting back. And just everybody still try to stay safe. And happy Halloween to everybody, and I hope you got. Do we still do the costume and the candy thing? I'm still trying to figure that out with everybody.
I mean, I'm proud to say that you're looking at nothing but men who are just wearing T-shirts and jeans. We're not. No one here is wearing a costume. But
I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about the kids tomorrow night. You know.
Oh, so
like, what do we do? I mean, what is the? I mean, you know, I'm not.
So my wife went to Lowe's. And yeah. Bought like a 10-foot-long plastic tube that we ran down the outside handrail because we have like a little bit of a steps up to our front door. And so We're going to be shooting candy down the tube, socially distanced candy tube.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
See, I was just outside, and I think I'm going to create a zip line with a fishing line for those people that aren't comfortable coming up off the sidewalk.
That's a good idea. Cam, I'm glad you're feeling better. Thanks for talking a little football with us. Have yourself a fun Halloween. Take care.
All right, guys. Happy Halloween. Nice talking to you, too. Thanks.
Cam Inman. Love talking to Cam here on 95.7 The Game. Damon Ratto and Kolsky were brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises. Now for the Exergen temperature check. It is a sunny and 66 degrees in beautiful downtown Oakland.
Hey, fellow citizens, do you have a plan for how you're going to vote? You should. You can vote in person or by mail. Go to vote411.org to find out rules and deadlines for your state. We all have a voice and a vote to cast. Vote. Make it count. Go to vote411.org.
And now a game of Commercial Chicken, brought to you by Progressive, where we see how long Flo can go without talking about insurance. Ready? Go.
So the weather is just all over the place lately, right? One day it's hot, and the next day it's windy for a while. It's like, make up your mind already. Drivers who switch to Progressive can save big.
Okay, you win. We can't help but save customers money. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Spring cleanup is for everyone, but nature saves its biggest mess for fall, where we race against time and the never-ending piles of falling leaves, where Echo Power is more important than ever. Echo makes some of the world's most powerful outdoor power equipment, blowers and chainsaws that make light work out of the toughest fall cleanup jobs. Visit echo-usa.com to find an Echo dealer near you. That's echo-usa.com. Echo. Power on and on.
Hi, I'm Joanna from the Diamond Heights Safeway. Are you ready for a road trip? Shop at Safeway and earn gas reward points, then save up to 20 cents per gallon at participating Chevron or Texaco stations, or up to $1 per gallon at Safeway stations. That's right, up to $1 per gallon just for shopping with us. Redeem your rewards at participating Chevron, Texaco, and Safeway gas stations. Limited to 25 gallons in a single fill-up. Other restrictions and exclusions apply. Visit storesafeway.com/rewards for details. This is Joanna from the Diamond Heights Safeway, and we'll see you soon.
Save up to $2,000 on select GE Profile appliances via online or mail-in rebate. Visit Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill or at friedmansappliance.com.
We've all been there. You're not feeling so hot and you want to see your doctor, but you're not so sure you can even get out of bed. Kaiser Permanente gives you care your way. So if you want to see your doctor in person, we can do that. But if getting in the car is the last thing you want to do, that's okay. Just schedule a video visit. Kaiser Permanente gives you high-quality care in person, online, or over the phone so you can thrive. Learn more at kp.org.
Appointments is available and appropriate.
Introducing touch-free payments from PayPal, the safe way to pay. Whatever you're looking for, whether it's a morning pick-me-up, a fresh haircut.
That looks great.
Or someone to fix that leak. PayPal touch-free payments make paying in person safe and easy. Simply download the PayPal app, then scan, pay, and go.
Thank you.
Shop safe with PayPal touch-free payments, now in your neighborhood.
Listen to sports' biggest newsmakers on 95.7 The Game's Guest Line. Brought to you by Bay Area Chevrolet Dealers. Visit BayAreaChevroletDealers.com.
Hey, what do you want to da da da?
I don't know. What do y'all think we should da da da?
Well, what did we da yesterday?
Yesterday.
All the dolls feel like the same doll these days.
I know.
Like, is today Monday or Tuesday?
Today is Thursday.
Oh, no, I forgot to call my mom on her birthday.
Oh, no.
No.
These days, nothing is normal and everything is weird. But you could still save big when you switch to Progressive. That won't change. Not to da or any da.
Quote to da at Progressive.com.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
What do you get when you talk to a Dell Technologies advisor?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You get someone who understands there's an art to listening.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Who's able to hear more than what's being said and can provide tailored mm-hmm. small business solutions that make you feel okay. truly heard.
I understand. Let's get started.
For advice on everything from laptops to the cloud and solutions powered by Intel vPro platform, call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Walgreens is making Medicare easier by saving you money and giving you peace of mind. Find the best, most affordable plan for you by visiting walgreens.com/Medicare today.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
We're having a good show. We're having a good day. I hope it's a good weekend for everyone's football interests. Indiana at Rutgers. Let me just throw that out there. It's going to happen this weekend.
I don't think that's in anybody's football interest but yours.
It's everybody's football interest. The nation is watching. And let me tell you, Clemson's already dodging Indiana. You see what they're doing? Lying about positive tests and all this. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, Trevor Lawrence is okay. How that story, by the way, is being covered is one of the major demerits on society right now. The Trevor Lawrence story, the conversation earlier this week is, do you think he might be coming back for another year? And now it's quickly just pivoted. Is he going to be back in time from the Notre Dame game? And I know that the math is on his side and the odds are on his side of being fine and coming out of this is certainly, as far as we can see, in the next 10 days or so, fine. But you've got more articles about the timetable of returning from a positive COVID-19 test than you do, like, gee, I really hope Trevor Lawrence is going to be okay. Or, you know, how did this even happen? there's the question of how he got it isn't even being asked. It's will he be back in time to play Notre Dame? And I even saw the article saying that, yes, there's nothing to worry about, because even if he is indeed in his dorm room or wherever he is on campus, a private plane can fly him to South Bend in under 3 hours, and he can dress and just go out there and play. Like, it's amazing how important football is to this culture at the behest of everything else.
Well, first of all, the argument about whether he can play or not is sort of moot, because remember 40 years ago when guys used to get shot up with cortisone when they shouldn't have been to play. So Clemson will do all it can do, including invent a transporter if they have to get him to South Bend on time. But the fact that nobody seems to care about his physical well-being is not a surprise at all, because, look, if this was next year and he had come out in the draft and he'd signed with somebody and he wasn't starting and he caught the COVID, nobody at Clemson would give a damn, because he's no longer their issue. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is a great player, but he is just a tool on the belt. And when that tool gets broken, they'll go out and get another one. And it's one of the maddening things about college sports in general, is that the coach is way more important than the player, because the coach is always going to be there and the players come and go, you know, in ways that it doesn't happen in pro sports at all. So, you know, it surprises me not at all. In fact, I'm surprised that there isn't more outcries. Well, why wasn't he taking care of himself? Why didn't he get this before the, you know, before the Wake Forest game? You know, why didn't he plan better?
I kind of feel like the entire college sports system is going to collapse in the next 10 years. Or at least be drastically reduced in its place in society. Like, it doesn't make sense. And they keep showing their ass on stuff like this over and over and over again. The entire community betrays itself publicly as a bunch of craven maniacs. And I don't know how long that can hold. Just because kids are getting smarter and more empowered about this stuff, I don't know that it can hold much longer.
I want to believe you're right. I do. And I used to be the old school, college should never change kind of guy. And I've definitely evolved way past that, because the abuse is just so easy to see right now. I mean, they at least used to do you the courtesy. You know, there's a great scene in The Wire. Great scene in The Wire where Bunny, who is the cop, the longtime serving cop on the beat who comes up with Hamsterdam. Anyways, he's saying there used to be a social compact between the cop on the beat and the guy at the corner store. And the compact was just be respectful and hide your liquor in a brown paper bag. Just hide your liquor in a brown paper bag. We all know what's really going on here, but at least create the illusion of something reputable happening. And that way we can all just kind of look the other way and go about our own ways. College was great at that. They were great at that. And then not only did they become bad at that, but then the world changed around them and doubly exposed the hypocrisy coming and going. And the whole thing really is, I think you're right, Matt. I think normalcy has about a decade left, because we're going to dig a few years out of this and then look back at it and go, all right, well, what could have been done better? Let's reevaluate everything. And oh, by the way, hey, big bad NCAA, nobody's scared of you anymore. Like, you don't have nearly the power that you used to have. And I know, I mean, everyone would say, there's not going to be a bubble. Well, guess what? There probably is going to be a bubble. And it's just, it's nuts. It is nuts. And Indiana lost out on a big recruit today to Purdue, of all places, which bothers me. So I'm in a little bit of a bad mood right now. I just saw this.
God, see somebody for this soon.
It's important.
I think what we've learned from this year is that the sense of shame is no longer there. And college sports, because it generates money, will happily let you call it hypocritical. I don't think they care anymore. I mean, they, as you said, Matt, they've shown their ass so many times. What's the difference? They're basically saying, we're going to do this anyway because you can't stop us. I mean, the only way you could stop us is if you take control of the Air Force and make targeted airstrikes on every stadium in the South. That's the only way that changes, because these guys don't care what we know anymore. They've made it clear that they're going to operate the way they operate because the universities aren't going to stop them. The presidents surely aren't going to stop them. Nobody is there to stop them at all. It is a free-range athletic society hiding behind colleges no more. Just they run the colleges. They've made all the determinations here. I mean, and of all the conferences, the Pac-12 is the most shameful because they were the ones who flew the flag most stridently for health and safety, and within 3 weeks dropped it and said, hey, we're going to play too.
Yeah, it's all bad. It's all bad. And look, that's kind of my point, is they've ceased hiding anything. And I just don't know how long that can last. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it can last forever. I mean, more surprising things have happened in this world. But it's so over and over again, we see these examples of how everything about the entire culture of college sports is all wrong. It's just it's all bad.
In a story today about the sale of the New York Mets being confirmed to, was it Steve Cohen? Is that the guy who just bought him?
Yeah.
Steve Cohen, one of the best investors in the history of venture capitalism, basically bought the New York Mets today, and his decision, his entry into Major League Baseball was made official this afternoon. But you want to talk about players feeling like commodities? In that story about the money spent on the New York Mets, there was one quote that to me jumped out, and here it is. It's Noah Syndergaard. He tells the New York Post, quote, "All I plead is that the new owner treats players and personnel in this organization like people and less like expendable commodities. That being said, I couldn't be more excited about the real-life Bobby Axelrod leading the charge." That is a reference to the TV show Billions and a great venture, a big investor there. But isn't that something else for this guy to come out and say the Wilpons basically treated us like cartons of milk that had expiration dates on them and we were treated as such?
Well, and yet Steve Cohen had to pay a $1 billion fine for securities fraud. So it's almost like, yeah, we know he's kind of a crook, but he's a better crook than a crook who doesn't have money. So there's something really cynical in what Syndergaard says, whether he knows it or not. And that is that we don't care as long as we get ours. And it's one of the things, I mean, baseball embarrassed itself 100 different times this year. You think they're ashamed of it? Hell no. They got to the end of the year. And even if their ratings were down, they still got, as much money out of this year as you could possibly get. They're cutting people now. They're laying off office workers. They're going to get that money back because they don't care what you think as long as the cash comes in. And so it's not just college sports, although college sports is probably the worst offender. It's all of them to differing degrees, but it's all of them.
You know what, Ray? But you're very attuned to this. Like, the difference is, even when college sports is blatantly showing you their ass, they're staring you right in the face and lying to you. The lie of amateurism is the difference. Like, fair enough, if you don't like the way baseball handled itself, you're free to turn it off. And that may ultimately affect how much money they make, but probably not. And everyone over there is taken care of pretty well. In college, it's whoever's watching or not watching, there's literal kids being exploited. And to me, that's where it just, I don't know.
Oh, no, I'm not. The point I was making was not that baseball is as bad as college sports.
No, I know
college
you're not
sports
saying
is
that.
Infinitely worse. But it is the same sense of, yeah, okay, you caught us. What are you going to do about it?
Uh-huh.
Because that's where we're at with college sports. It's just, screw you. We're going to do this anyway. I mean, just follow what Nebraska's done this week. Yeah, just follow what Nebraska's done this week.
I'd rather not. I mean, I've never bothered before.
It will be educational because this is a school that was a power 40 years ago in a conference that no longer exists, who went to make a cash grab Now they find out they have no leverage, and they are acting like they did. I mean, it's sort of like somebody, you know, in Austria saying, well, we used to be an empire, damn it. You will respect me, and you will listen to what I say. Yeah, probably not.
You will respect my authority.
Yeah, it's basically people are doing whatever they want until somebody makes them stop. And I don't know who is going to make college football stop, because nobody in the South is going to do it.
I know who's going to make us stop to talk to him. Brian Baldinger, who joins us as we move into our 5 o'clock hour. How about our 4 o'clock hour?
No, you said 5.
That woke me up.
Sorry.
You said
you're
5.
Listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco. A radio.com sports station.
Don't forget to set your clocks again this weekend. I do believe that is coming up on Sunday. So there you go. That was a little test run for everyone. We're very happy to welcome back in here. Did I cover that up nice? Thank you.
It was a nice effort, but no, I'm quitting in 54 minutes.
They're on to me. Brian Baldinger is brought to us by Snake River Farms, the pioneer of American Wagyu beef, shipped directly to your door. Order now at snakeriverfarms.com. You know, we got a new video up all over social media. Me and Chef David Nayfeld, who comes on the show, he came to my house. He cooked. We ate well. Check out the video on all of the accompanying social media hullabaloo. But right now, like I said, Brian Baldinger and Baldy on a Friday, we're no longer really interested in the game that was played. We're looking ahead. But you were in Foxborough and were there in person for the 49ers undressing of Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. How blown away were you by the outcome of that game?
It was the worst performance I've seen by a Patriot team in a long time. I've seen some early season eggs that, that they didn't look good. I remember, a Monday night game against Kansas City. I mean, I remember some games that were kind of stinkers, but nothing like what I saw. Just overall play. I mean, tackling, quarterback play, coverage. And then I think the thing that was, I guess, that caught me and surprised me the most was how much faster San Francisco was than the Patriots. Not just team speed, but just play to play to play. They just played at a faster speed than the New England Patriots. They got there first. They beat them to the spot over and over and over again. The Patriots looked like they were flat-footed, and the 49ers looked like they were playing on a pogo stick. There was just a big difference in watching the two play.
Okay, since you brought it up, who's the faster team in terms of the kind of speed you're talking about on Sunday, Seattle or San Francisco?
I'd like to know who's playing for San Francisco and Seattle. It seems a little murky at this point. I think that Seattle certainly with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, and Russell, they just play the game fast. I know Tyler Lockett really well. I did a lot of his games at Kansas State, but I mean, he just plays fast, and he was fast against Arizona on Sunday night. But if you clocked him in a 40-yard dash, he probably doesn't go a whole lot faster than a 4.5. He just plays fast. And we know that DK, we saw the play chasing him, Buda Baker down. I mean, you'd put him in a 100-meter dash against anybody in the league. So, there's different types of speed. Bobby Wagner just recognizes really fast. I mean, those two guys, when you look at, what the 49ers have at linebacker and what Seattle has at linebacker, it's like a wash in how fast both those sets of linebackers play.
There was this whole let Russ cook movement situation happening. And certainly Russell Wilson is phenomenal, having an incredible year. Is that to you because of a philosophy change in their offense, or is it just better line play, better receiver play? What's the story of Russ having this season so far?
Well, I think when you get a dog out there at the X receiver in DK Metcalf, that changes things. When you go and sign Greg Olsen, one of the great tight ends over the last decade, that changes things, quite a bit. Now, I know DK didn't have this huge game on, Sunday night, but he's got 5 touchdown catches. They've got 12 touchdown catches between Metcalf and Lockett right now.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.